Good morning. Today's daf Pesachim, daf Hey. We are on Daf Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. Here in the first parak of Pesachim, the first daf was dedicated to clarifying the Mishnah in terms of the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz or La Arba Asar, the eve of the 14th. So first daf clarified that the word or, even though normally it means light, but it means the evening of. The Gemara here is speaking in a refined language, and that's Daf Gimel. Daf Gimel was a discussion about how a person should always speak in a refined language. Daf Dalet, yesterday's Daf. So concluding the topic of speaking in a refined language, not to broadcast bad information to other people. The Daf was moved back to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, and a lot of questions regarding an owner and a tenant and responsibility of the mitzvah of Bedika. Is it on the owner or is it on the tenant? That takes us to the end of yesterday's daf, and we'll pick it up right from there. Tanan Hasam, we turn to a Mishnah. Mishnah here is on Daf Yud Aleph. We're going to see the Mishnah upcoming. The Mishnah reads, Rameir Omer Ochlin Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Bitchil Shesh. Rav Yehud Omer Ochlin Kol Arba Visolin Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Bitchil Shesh. A machlokus amongst the Tanaim, exactly what the safeguard measures are of the Chachamim on Erev Pesach. The starting point between the two of them is that Chametz becomes also on Erev Pesach at Chatzos, midday, halfway through the day on Erev Pesach, so Chametz is also in a Torah. So we're going to get to that Mishnah later on. It's obviously, it's on Daf Yud Aleph. But meanwhile, the Tanaim are arguing exactly when the Chachamim put in a buffer, a safeguard, to ensure that we're not going to be eating Chametz after Chatzos. So fine, and we'll get to the Machlokas later on, and we'll discuss it in more detail later on. In terms of what can you do during the 6th hour, what can you do during the 5th hour. If I could just make one point of clarification regarding these hours. So when we talk about an hour, so just it's a great way to think about it. We're not talking about like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Obviously, we're working with Shabbos Mondays. We're working in terms of hours based on when the day begins, based on when the day ends. Machlokas in terms of when exactly the day begins and day ends in terms of calculating these hours, which I'm not going to get to right now. Just want to give all of us a clearer understanding of what it means when we talk about these hours. Let's just assume a perfect day where the day starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m. And that way I could just give out nice even numbers. When we talk about the first hour, we're not talking about 6 a.m. nor are we talking about 7 a.m. The first hour is that hour between 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. The second hour is the hour between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., etc., etc. So when we're talking about the 6th hour, what we're really describing over here is the hour between 11 and 12. Again, on a perfect day. But you understand. So so when we're talking hours, we're talking about the hour in between. That's why you're going to see language like Tchila Sheish, the beginning of the 6th hour. Beginning of the 6th hour in the example that I gave is really 11 a.m. But there's no term to describe that. That's why it's called Tchila Sheish, the beginning of the 6th hour. Every the hours really covers the entirety of the hour. Okay, just helpful information. Anyway. The Gemara's discussion revolves around the following. Now, what's clear, meaning I didn't do much in terms of explaining the various shitos because we're going to discuss it later on, but what's clear is as follows, is that once you get to midday, so chametz is aser and minalan. And the Gemara wants to know, where does that come from? Where in the Pesukim in the Torah do we see that chametz is aser from midday and onward? Now, let me just spoil the Gemara. The answer is, there is nowhere in the Torah where the Torah says that chametz is usher from chatzos and onward. And so what we have over here is Torah Shabbat Peh, but the Gemara over here is going to connect the Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat, meaning that there's some allusion, some reference to it in the Torah. So where do we see these allusions? Where do we see these references? Meaning, where are the drushes in the Torah? So I'm Rabbi, so the Gemara is going to give a lot of answers to this question. By the end of the discussion, we'll already be halfway through Radaf. The Gemara is going to propose approximately 6 answers. Really, the counting over here gets a little bit tricky because a lot of the answers overlap, but there are approximately 6 answers to this question, and that's going to be the first half of today's daf. And then afterwards, we're going to talk more, a little bit more about the Isser of Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. That's the second half of today's daf. So let's begin. Amar Abai, the Abai's response is straight. Kreik Siva, there are 2 psukim, Siv Shivas Yamim, Seor, Lo Yematzeh Bevatechem. Many of the psukim that we're going to be quoting is from Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo, not only giving us the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but also the halachas of Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. So the Torah here in Parshas Bo says that for 7 days, Seor lo yimatzeh bevateichem, you're not going to find any leavened product. Uksivin the pasuk says, "Bayom arishon tashpisu suvor mibatechem," and then it says that on day one you're going to be removing the chametz from your house. So aketzad. So obviously you try to put these psukim side by side, and it's confusion. Meaning day one through day seven chametz is aser, and then on day one you have to get rid of the chametz. Aren't you already rid of the chametz? So aketzad. How does that work? L'rabba sarba sar lebiur. So Abai says the only way to create shalom between these two psukim is to say that when it says Yom Rishon, it actually is a reference to the day before. Pesach starts on the 15th day of Nisan, so Yom Rishon being referred to over here is the day earlier, the 14th day of Nisan. So the Gemara says, here's what we could propose. Maybe the pasuk of Yom Rishon is coming to tell me that I need to get rid of the chametz on the night of the 15th. Takedat Chaimin, I might have thought. Yamim ksiv, yamim ein leilo sol. Here's how we could have navigated through the psukim. When it says the shivas yamim sor lo imatze bevatechem, maybe that's just specific to the day, meaning that on the day of Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, the 15th day in the morning, so chametz is aser. And the second pasuk of ach ba yom rishon is coming to bring me the night earlier, meaning what you and I describe as Seder night. And then we also have to get rid of chametz as well. So the Gemara says, so that's what I might have thought. Kamash malan, afilo leilos, and that's what the second pasuk is coming to teach me. And so this is the Gemara just simply deflecting Abaye's source, and the Gemara is now proposing that maybe the Ach Bayom Rishon is not talking about the day before Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, but maybe it's talking about the night of. The Gemara says, lo sagadatcha. The, made up words in the Gemara, hahu lo itzerich le. So the Gemara says, no, that's not necessary. I don't need a drasha to tell me that the chametz is going to be removed on the night of Pesach. I already know that. How do I already know that? As we now turn to the top of Hamad Aleph, da'it gishash basa se'or la'achil chametz, because we have a hekesh between the eradication of chametz to the eating of chametz, or I should say better, the iser of eating chametz, ve'achilas chametz, la'achilas matzah. And also another a secondary connection is the iser of eating chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah. So we have to establish now two connections. The connection of eradication of chametz to the iser of achilas chametz dechsiv, shivas yamim sor leimatzei bevatechem, ki chol ochel machmetzes v'nichresa. So the psukim and parshas bo say that you're not allowed to have chametz in your house, meaning you have to eradicate it, and if you eat chametz, you're going to be subject to kares. V'achilas chametz l'achilas matzah, and the secondary connection between the iser of achilas chametz and the mitzvah of matzah, dichsiv, the pasuk is called machmetzos, lo sochil b'chol mosh v'osechem, tochlu matzos. So you're not allowed to eat chametz, you must eat matzah. So, uksiv be'ba matzah. Now, as far as matzah is concerned, what do we know? Be'erif tochlu matzos, that we eat matzos in the evening, meaning a description of the evening of the 15th. Lel ha-seder. So what have we just established? That we connect the mitzvah of eating matzah to the iser of eating chametz. We connect the iser of eating chametz to the mitzvah of bir chametz, of eradication of chametz. So we have already established now that there is a mitzvah to remove chametz already on the night of the 15th. Fine. Once that's established, now we go back to the psukim of Abaye, of Ach Bayom HaRishon. It's coming now to augment an additional time period where you have to eradicate the chametz, where you're not allowed to eat the chametz. So now it has to be talking about the 14th. The aim of the Gemara says, okay, but still, let's press on this. L'rabos lal yudan lebir. Maybe the pasuk of Ach Bayom Rishon is coming to tell me that I have to eradicate chametz on the eve of the 14th. So fine. So we're conceding that the Ach Bayom Rishon is coming to add and augment. Fine. But maybe already on the evening of the 14th there's a mitzvah of biur. So Bayom Ksiv. The Gemara says no. The pasuk says during the day. Okay, but maybe from the morning. Ach chalak. When the pasuk says ach bayom rishon, so the word ach is there to tell me that not the entirety of the day prior, not the whole 14th day, but part of the 14th day. And that's derived from the word ach. How does the word ach take the day and divide into half? So Rashi over here has a couple of ways in terms of how this is concluded. Rashi dibra amaschal ach chalak. Rashi writes ach v'rakin mi'utin. Am amiksas hayom motor amiksas o aser. So the Rashi is one way to understand it, is that when you have an ach in the Torah, when you have a rak in the Torah that serves as a miut, that serves to minimize. So over here, we're gonna minimize that day prior, the 14th day. How are we minimizing it? Not the whole day is going to be subject to beer. Only half the day is going to be subject to beer. Okay, that's one proposal of Rashi. Second proposal of Rashi, v'gadamar, ach hu chetz b'gamatria de'achas b'tal gif de'katz v'tofes ches tachas alav b'tzadi b'makom chav. Okay, decoding the Torah. The Gemara and Shabbos daf kuf dalet. Okay, I don't normally subscribe to Zichru, to full disclosure over here. However, it's a great system, and certainly I promote it, and it happens to be an old friend of mine is one of the people running it. But regardless, in Shabbos daf kuf dalet, this is a good one. For kuf dalet is code. So if you want to remember where to find the codes in the Torah and how to decode the Torah, so Shabbos kuf dalet. Anyway, so but Rashi over here says that there is one of the ways in which we decode the Torah, substituting one letter for another. Now there are a couple of levels of substitutions, right? The Atbash is probably the more popular one, where basically you take the first letters of the Torah and substitute it with the alphabet working backwards. That's one way to do so. Another way to do so is by skipping every seven letters. Okay, it's one that's not used often, but anyway, using that system, so the word ach now is going to come into the word, become the word chetz, okay? And the chetz comes from obviously the word chatzi, to divide. Interesting, Rashi takes an approach of what I call a gematria. It's not really gematria. Gematria is assigning numbers to the letters over here. We're substituting one letter for another, but it's a form of decoding the Torah that arrives at this point. Okay, anyway, Ramazan, ways of teasing out the halacha from the psukim. So far, what we have in front of us right now is one approach in terms of how we arrive at the conclusion that the Torah is coming to include a day in which chametz is aser and you must eradicate it, and that is generated from the psukim of Shivas Yamim Seor Leimatze Bevatechem, that's Pesach itself, and Ach B'Yam HaRishon Tashbisu Seor Mibatechem, that's talking about an extra day, notably the day prior, and not the entirety of the day prior, but only half of the day prior. That's all but drasha number one. We continue in the Gemara. Debate Rabbi Shmuel Tana Matin Yudal Shenik or Rishon. The 14th day of Nisan actually is described as Rishon. How do I know that? Shenemar, the pasuk says, Barishon ba'ar ba'a asar yom l'chodesh ben ha'arbaim, etc., etc. Now, if you read the pasuk the way I just read it, and you ignore the context of the Torah altogether, which normally is not a great thing to do, so the way it sounds like is that Barishon is the 14th day. Okay, now, frankly, that's a total reading of the pasuk out of context. In context, what the Torah is communicating is that Barishon on the first month, meaning Nisan, on the 14th of that month. That's a simple reading of the pasuk in context. But over here, we're talking about allusions, and so alluded to in the pasuk is the idea that the 14th is described as Rishon. And now with that allusion, so now when you go back and reread the pasuk, Ach b'yom Rishon, tashbisu sor mibatechem. So the Rishon over here is a reference to the 14th day of Nisan. Okay, that's another drasha. A third drasha, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Rishon Demikara Mashma. Actually, when you read the word Rishon could be described as the first day, which is a simple pshat, but it could also be understood as the day prior. How do I know that? We take a look at the Pasuk in Iyov. Amakra HaRishon Adam Tivaleid. Right? Was anyone born before Adam, prior to Adam? So you see the word Rishon over there, simple pshat, the Pasuk in Iyov, is described as the day prior. And so over here, Ach B'Yom HaRishon is the reference to the day prior. Ela Me'ata, the Gemara says, really, every time you see the word Rishon, it means the day prior. It's not true. The Gemara says, I'll give you a number of examples. U'lakachtem l'chem B'Yom HaRishon, for the mitzvah of taking the Dalminim. So the Torah says, B'Yom HaRishon, what do you want to tell me? It's talking about the day prior to Sukkot. There's a mitzvah of taking Dalminim. Certainly there's a mitzvah to purchase the Dalminim prior to the Sukkot, but the Lakicha, the taking of the Dalminim, obviously that's the first day of Sukkot. So, Hachinami Rishon Demikara Mashma, you want to tell me that's a description of the day prior? So, Shani Alsem Dechsiv Usmachim Lufnei Hashem Lakechem Shivas Yamim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there, I know it can't mean the day prior, because the Torah says, in that pasuk of Lakicha's Dalminim, that you're going to rejoice in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days. Mashvi. Shvi lechag af rishon, rishon lechag. You just see it in the context clearly. It's talking about the 7 days of Sukkot, and obviously the seventh day is day number seven. So the first day is day number one. There's no other way to read that pasuk. So the Gemara says, okay, but based on that line of reasoning, go back to our psukim over here regarding Pesach. It says day number one. It says 7 days. So imke nichtov kra rishon. So the Gemara says, look, if the Torah would have said the word rishon without the hay, so then I can see the point. But ha rishon lamali. But it does have the hay, so that's coming to tell me that it's talking, describing the day prior, i.e. the 14th of Nisan. Shema mina. Lichid amran. It goes back to what we originally suggested. So ihach yasam nami harishon lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, but the extra hay is telling you that the rishon is prior. Let's go back to Sukkos. It doesn't say ulakachtem lachem b'yom rishon. It says ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon with a hay. So lamali v'su hasam dechsev. So far right now seems like by Sukkos we have the word rishon. It is not to be translated as the day prior, even with the hay. It's not to be translated with the definition of the day prior. So it sounds like same thing over here. Ach bayom harishon, not to be translated as the day prior. That's already one question. Let's put a bookmark right here. The Gemara says, and furthermore, v'su halsam dichsi bayom harishon shabbaton v'yom hashmi shabbaton. So emar rishon debikara mashva. And also when the Torah is outlining the yantiv of Sukkos, it says which days of Sukkos are yantiv. So day number one and day number eight. So what do you want to tell me? That the word Rishon over there means the day prior, meaning the day prior to Sukkot is a Yantiv? It's not a Yantiv. So Shani Hasam Damakra Uva Yom Hashmini Shabbaton. Mashmini Shmini Dechag, Af Rishon Rishon Dechag. So the Gemara tries to deflect from this one as well. Well, we know day eight over there is day eight from day one. So day one is also day one, not the day prior. So HaRishon Lamali, Lema'uti Chol Shomoed. So the Gemara says, okay, and what's HaRishon coming to teach me? It needs to tell me that only days 1 and 8 are Yantiv, as opposed to the other days, which are Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaShomoed MeRishon HaShmin Nafka. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The HaRishon is telling me an exclusion of the days in between? Just the words Rishon and Shmini by themselves. Without the additional Hay, that should be sufficient. So Itzrech Sakadat Chamina. So the Gemara says, well, let's try to still salvage this one point. Because if the Torah would have just simply said 1 and 8, I maybe know. Because Sakda Chamina hold the Kazar Rachmana Uvayom Hashmini. Because when the Torah tells us about the 8th day of Sukkos, otherwise known as Shmini Atzeres, it says Uvayom Hashmini with the Vav. And Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. Dafil Bechol Shomoed. And here's what I might have thought. That when the Torah says Uvayom Hashmini, it means and the 8th day. Not only is the 8th day going to be Yantiv, but all the days prior also going to have the same status of being a yontif, not just Chol HaMoed. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that's why the Torah has to say HaRishon and HaShmini to tell me that only days 1 and 8 are yontif, the days in between are Chol HaMoed. So the reason why we have the hay over there is because without the hay, I might have thought that the HaShmini is coming to tell me that all the days are yontif. So the Gemara says, really? You really box yourself into a corner. Why doesn't Torah just simply take out the Vav, Uvayom HaShmini, take out the Vav, and now there's no entertaining the idea that the days in between are Yantiv, therefore there'd be no need for the Hay on the first day to counteract that idea? So the Gemara says it's really implausible that the Yom HaRishon and the Hay over there is just to negate Chol HaMoed. So once again, we now have a second encounter where it says Vayom HaRishon, it doesn't mean the day prior, it means the first day. Visu, you put a bookmark over there as well. And the Gemara says, and we're not done yet. Hasam Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayom HaRishon Mekar Kodesh Yalachem. So when the Pesukim in Parshas Emor describe Pesach, it says on day one is going to be Yantav. So Rishon Demikar Mashma. So the Gemara says, and over there, what are you going to tell me? That as far as the Yantav of Pesach is concerned, not only is the 15th day a Yantav, but the 14th is also a Yantav. Now, we're going to learn We're going to learn later in the Masechta, there is a minug not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. Fine. But an Isser D'Oraisa of Yantav on the 14th day of Nisan? No, then it's simply not tenable. So, we have now at least three examples, and parenthetically, by the way, Tosu says there's actually more Pesukim. But we have at least three examples where we see the word Yom HaRishon. It's clearly not a reference to the day prior. It's talking about the first day. And so the Gemara says, now I go back to the Pesukim and Ach Bayom HaRishon, and you want to argue that the word Rishon over there means not the first day, but the day prior, like we saw in the Pasuk in Iyov, right now it doesn't seem like we are succeeding in this approach, in this particular approach. The Gemara says, okay, but I can still salvage this approach. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that these three Rishons that we just went through, right, the two of them in Parshas Emor, actually a third one in Parshas Emor. So the Rishons mentioned over here are not to teach me day one, but actually to provide for me a drasha. This is one of those moments in the Gemara where the Gemara is telling me that I need it for another purpose, and therefore we limit the amount of drashas that we can make. Although, admittedly, what we're going to use it for is a drasha in basically what we would describe as agarata. And it's just interesting, and it happens in the Gemara. This is not such an unusual event where we have a secondary drasha, but it's really a drasha in an agarata, and therefore we cannot make a drasha in halacha. Okay, but it is certainly interesting, noteworthy. I noted it. Anyway, the Tanya de Beit Rav Yishmael, we learned in the Braisa, B'schar Shlosha Rishon, Zachu L'Shlosha Rishon. Out of a reward of three Rishons, satisfying three Rishons, we're going to be rewarded with three Rishons. Meaning, by successfully fulfilling and observing the Rishons of the first day of Sukkot and the first day of Pesach, as we just outlined the Pesukim and Namor, and the eighth day of Sukkot, so as a result of that, so we're going to be rewarded with three Rishons. L'hachriz Zar Shal Esav, the destruction of the descendants of Esav. L'binyan Beis HaMikdash, for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. U'l'shmo Shal Mashiach, and also for Shem HaMashiach, the coming of Mashiach. L'hachriz Zar Shal Esav, d'chsiv ha'yisei Rishon Admoni, kulo ka'adereseh ar. So as far as the Esav, where do we see the word Rishon connected with Esav? The birth of Esav. Ulabinyan Beis HaMikdash Dichsiv Kisei Kavod Marom Mirishon Makom Mikdashenu. So, and also the Beis HaMikdash described as Rishon, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ulishmo Shem Mashiach Dichsiv Rishon Letzion Hinei Hinam, and Rishon Letzion, a reference to Mashiach, using the word Rishon, fine. So out of successfully observing these days of Yantav, so we're going to be rewarded with destruction of Esav, building of the Beis HaMikdash, and Shmo Shel Mashiach. By the way, this Gemara over here certainly sounds awfully similar to the Gemara in Sanhedrin when describing the responsibilities of a king, right? The appointment of a king, coming with that appointment of the king. So you're going to have the destruction of Amalek, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. King is an anointed figure. Very similar to one another. Anyway, so since we have these Rishons speaking to these ideas, so therefore, it doesn't allow us to darshan the word Rishon in any other fashion. Okay, again, it's just an interesting idea that the Gemara is using it for agadata, supplanting the halachic implications of that pasuk. Anyway, that was approach number three. Here we go now, a fourth approach. Again, the question is very simple. How do I know that chametz is asur on the day prior to Pesach? Where does it say so clearly in the Torah? It doesn't say so clearly in the Torah. And the question now really becomes, where is it alluded to in the Pesukim? We've had so far three drushas that got us to this point. We're up to drusha number four. Rav Amar Mi'acha Lo Sishchar Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. So don't shech the carbon Pesach. Lo Sishachar HaPesach V'Adayin Chametz Kayam. Don't shech the carbon Pesach while in possession of chametz. And we know, and we're going to learn this in much greater detail upcoming in the fifth parak of Pesachim, that the shechting of the carbon Pesach is done in the afternoon of Pesach. There are a couple of technical points over here. Rashi Tosfos over here alludes to it. The shechting of the carbon Pesach is in fact done in the afternoon of Pesach, but it doesn't really start at midday. Really, the shechting of the carbon Pesach is done a little bit later on in the afternoon in terms of the schedule of the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So we're going to see it in much greater detail, but at least in a theoretical plane, it could begin at midday. Okay, that point, I'm going over really quickly, but it does become a technical issue. And you can see Tosos, Los Neshachar Ezra Pesach V'Adayin Chametz Kayam, you can see Tosos making reference to these technical points. But anyway, let's just keep the Gemara as simple as possible. So the idea is that while shechting the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to be in ownership of chametz. The shechting of Karban Pesach is done in the afternoon, so therefore the Isser of chametz already begins in the afternoon. Veim of the Gemara says, okay, but even in this drush of Rava, let's make the following suggestion. And that is, kochav v'chal kishachit. So maybe, when does the Isser of chametz kick in? When you shech the Karban Pesach. Not everyone shechting the Karban Pesach at the same time. There are actually going to be groups of Jews going in to the base of Mikdash Shech Karban Pesach. We're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. They actually are three rounds. So if you're in round number three, you're already late in the afternoon Shechting Karban Pesach. So maybe the Isser of Chametz on Erev Pesach is going to be respective to when you're Shechting the Karban Pesach. That's the Gemara's proposal. So the Gemara says, Man Shechita Amarachmana. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not the way to understand it. The understanding is Zman Shechita. When at least it's possible for you to shech Karban Pesach, which is the afternoon, it's then at that point, specifically at that point, that the Isser of Chametz is going to kick in. Okay, so what we have now in front of us are four separate drashas offered by four different Amoraim as to how we know that Chametz on Erev Pesach is going to be also. Tanya Nami Achi. Now we go back to the Braisas, right? Probably you were wondering, why is this only addressed by the Amoraim? This is a very basic question. This is not a new question. When does Chametz become Asr on Erev Pesach? That's something that's built into the Torah Sheva'al Peh. So you expect the Amoraim to discuss it, not the Tanaim to discuss it? So no suspicion, the Tanaim do discuss it. It's interesting how the Gemara rolls out this information, first giving us the drushes of the Amoraim, and then only later bring us the Tanaim. Okay, it's unusual, but that's what the Gemara does. Anyway, Tanya Namihach, the Gemara supports us with a Braisa. Ach b'yamar rishon tashbisus or mi batechem. Me'erev Yom Tov. So here the Braisa is addressing our question. It's been the same question all morning. The pasuk says, Ach b'yamar rishon, and you're gonna remove chametz, and that's Erev Yom Tov. It's not talking about the 15th day of Nisan, it's going to be talking about the 14th day of Nisan. Oeinu ala b'yom tov atzmo. Maybe it's talking about the 15th. So the Braisa immediately rejects that. Tamalamar lo seshechet, lo seshchad al chametz dam zivchi. Lo seshchad al pesach v'adayin chametz kayam. Divrei Rebbe Yishmael. So Shitas Rebbe Yishmael is that the while you're shechting Karban Pesach, i.e. the afternoon of Erev Pesach, so then you are not allowed to be in possession of chametz. Good, just like Rava taught us. Okay, if you're a little bit confused, by the way, that this is Divrei Rebbe Yishmael, and meanwhile we used Rebbe Yishmael not to support another Amor's answer. So Tosos notes that as well over here, that sometimes you're not going to see agreement between the Shita of Rebbe Yishmael and Tana Debe Rebbe Yishmael. Okay. Anyway, Rebbe Kiva Omer, back to the Braisa. The Braisa itself is going to be giving a number of suggestions in terms of how we arrive at the conclusion. Everyone arrives at the same conclusion. It's just a question of how to get there. Rebbe Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarech, unnecessary. Harei Omer, the Pasuk says, Ach B'yam Rishon, Tashbis Yisor Mibatechem, Uksiv Kol Malacha Lo Saseh. So, Rebbe Kiva says that there's a requirement to eradicate the chametz. It also says that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to do malacha. Umatzinu la'avar she'av malacha. Now burning on Yom Tov is an av malacha. So therefore you can't burn it on Yom Tov itself because of the iser of Yom Tov. So therefore the only way that you could burn it is going to be on Erev Yom Tov. Okay, this sheet of Rebbe Kiva the Gemara is going to come back to. So we're going to come back to it. In the meantime, one more opinion in the Braisa. Rebbe Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech. Rebbe Yossi says unnecessary. So he reads the pasuk of Ach B'Yom Rishon, and immediately Rabbi Yossi says that's Erev Yantav. Maybe it's Yantav itself. Tamalomer Ach Chalak. The word Ach is dividing the day into two. V'ibi Yantav Atzma Mishare. Now, if it's talking about Yantav itself, you know nobody's dividing the first day of Yantav into two. So the only thing that's divisible by two is the day prior, the 14th day of Nisan. So ha itkesh hashvas asor la'achilas chametz ve'achilas chametz la'achilas matzah, and we know that you can't divide the first day of Pesach, the 15th day, into two, because we know already that there's a mitzvah of matzah. So correlated, we did this on the top of the Amud. Correlated with the mitzvah of eating matzah, there's the iser of chametz. Correlated with the iser of chametz is the eradication of chametz. So it can't be the 15th; it's got to be the 14th. Okay, Amar Rava. So that's pretty much it. We have now gone through, and this is where the numbering gets a little tricky, because in the Braisa, of the three opinions in the Braisa, two of them were already expressed by Amoraim. So, four opinions amongst the Amoraim, three expressed in the Braisa, two in the Braisa overlap with two of the Amoraim. Okay, so if you want a number, five different opinions in terms of how we arrive at the conclusion. Amar Rava, the Gemara continues. We are now turning to the top of the Amud Beis. Shmamina midarebi Akiva klas Shmamina. We're going to just spend a moment going over Rebbe Akiva Shita. The reason why Ach Bayom HaRishon cannot be a description of the first day of Yantav is because he can't burn the Chametz on Yantav. Burning the Chametz on Yantav would be a violation of Yantav. So in terms of analyzing Shita's Rebbe Akiva, actually there are 3 points to make. Number one, Shmamina in Bir Chametz El Asreifa. We're going to see later in the Masechta, we know there's a mitzvah of Bir Chametz, of eradicating the Chametz. How do you do that? So Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are going to be debating this very point. The Chachamim say eradication can come in any form. You just simply get rid of it, right? Flush it down the toilet or whatever means of eradication. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that specifically you have to burn the Chametz. That is the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Bir Chametz is by burning it. Okay, we'll go through the drushes later in the Masechta in terms of how each of these positions arrive at their positions. But anyway, Rabbi Akiva subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda. So that means that the only proper way to get rid of your chametz is by burning it. That's number one. Number two, Shmamina Havar L'Chalak Yatzas. And now burning on Yantav, burning on Shabbos. So let's start off with burning on Shabbos. The malacha of Sreifa, of making a fire on Shabbos, Havara. Is that a regular malacha or maybe not? So this is something that the Gemara goes over a number of times. We saw this back in Masechta Shabbos, and the Gemara is replete with this machlokas. The machlokas over here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nassan is over the following. Of the malachas, of the many malachas of Shabbos, 39 in total, how many of them are actually listed in the Torah itself proper? And the answer is very few of them. The Isser of making a fire is one of them. In the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, so the Torah says that one is not allowed to make a fire on Shabbos. Now, why is the Torah singling out making a fire? The Tanaim debate this very point. Rabbi Nassan tells us that the point of the Torah by singling a fire is to tell us that every one of the malachas is an av malacha in of itself. So that if a person were to violate all 39 malachas on Shabbos, and he did it b'shogeg, he'd be subject to have to bring 39 different carbon chatzis. So is the opinion of Rabbi Nassan. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says that the reason why the Torah singles out making a fire is that making a fire is qualitatively different than any of the other malachas. All the other malachas are subject to an iser kares, and if done b'shogeg, a carbon chatzis. However, when it comes to the malacha of making a fire, it's not a malacha of the same qualitative nature, but rather it's a lav of the Torah. If one were to make a fire according to Rabbi Yossi, so then one is not going to be subject to kares, but rather it is just a lav. I say the word just, relatively speaking. And therefore one is only going to be subject to malchus and not kares. That is Shitas Rabbi Yossi. And so therefore Rabbi Akiva over here, in the way he arrives at the conclusion that you're not allowed to make a fire on Yantav to burn the Chametz. So he's subscribing to Shitas Rabbi Nassan that the making a fire is an Av Malacha. Now, how exactly do we arrive at that conclusion? Where in Rabbi Akiva do we see clearly that he treats fire as an Av Malacha like Rabbi Nassan, not Lilav Yatzas, not that it's just a Lav? So the Gemara does not make that point abundantly clear. So once again over here, Rashi Tosfos discuss this very point. So Rashi and Tosfos both say it's because of the language of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, when describing making a fire, so he describes it as an av malacha. If it were just a lav, you wouldn't be describing it as an av malacha. That's one way we decipher from Rabbi Akiva that he's in line with Rabbi Nassan. Tosfos actually adds an additional point as well. Top Tosfos on the Amud. Va'odam arivad lamanda amar lalav yatzas lo haya asa biyamtov. Kevin de'ein shem malacha aleha. Tosfos over here quotes a really interesting opinion of the Riva, and that is that if on Shabbos making a fire would only be a lav, so then on Yantav it wouldn't be usur, because the only isurim on Yantav are only those things which qualify as a malacha, with kares and chatas on Shabbos. That's a really interesting suggestion of the Riva, and that means that if Rabbi Akiva were in line with Rabbi Yossi, making a fire on Yontiv altogether would be mutter. Okay, that's a lot to digest. Not ready right now to digest it, but that's the opinion of the Riva. Anyway, that's point number two. We're now up to point number three. Ushmamina lo amrin and hol v'hutcher havar letzarech hutcher namishol letzarech. Also, we have a machlokas coming up in the Masechta Beitza on Daf Yud Beis in terms of if a malacha is mutter on Yontov because of ochel nefesh, so can I do that malacha for other purposes as well? So, machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether we say mitoch or we do not say mitoch. Rabbi Akiva over here does not give an allowance to make a fire on Yontov in order to burn the chametz. So it must be, says Rava, a third conclusion from Rabbi Akiva, is that we do not say, according to Rabbi Akiva, that just because you're allowed to make a fire on Yontov to cook what you are, so that doesn't mean that you're allowed to make fire on Yontov for non-Yontov purposes. This is considered shelo letzarech, although I certainly can hear an argument that what do you mean, getting rid of chametz on Pesach? That certainly has a point, meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, so one could have made the argument that it's letzarech, but the Gemara says no, it's shelo letzarech. It doesn't directly benefit you, and therefore it falls under the category of shelo letzarech, and that must mean that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the idea that you're not allowed to take a malacha, which you're allowed to do for ochel nefesh, and extend it to something which is lo letzarech an yantif. Okay, that is a lot to digest. The truth of the matter is I went through that really quickly, but the basic idea is that Rabbi Akiva's argument that the achba yom harishon can't be talking about yantif because I'm not allowed to make a fire on yantif to burn chametz. So there are three conclusive points that we could say regarding Rabbi Akiva in terms of how he views making a fire on yantif. First of all, the mitzvah of bir chametz can only be done with fire, like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Number two is that the making a fire is an av malacha, meaning he subscribes to Rabbi Nasa, not like Rabbi Yossi. And number three is that you are allowed to make a fire in Yontif to cook, but you cannot make a fire for non-Yontif purposes, meaning he doesn't subscribe to the principle of mitoch. Those are the three conclusions within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Tana Rabbanan. We're in Heyam and Beis, we're at the two dots, and now we're going to change gears just a little bit. First half of today's daf dedicated to the topic of the Isser of Bir Chametz on Erev Pesach. The Torah itself does not clearly state so, but nevertheless we know that that's the conclusion. It's an Isser min HaTorah that one cannot have Chametz after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. How do we know that? Heyam and Aleph and Psachim addresses that question, giving us, or let's call it, five different approaches of how we know that that's in fact the conclusion. Gemara now is going to turn its attention in Hamad Beis to the Isser of Bal Yira Bal Yimatzei. Torah says that we're not allowed to have chametz in our possession. The Torah has a number of psukim that speak to this. In one way it's described as you're not allowed to see chametz in your possession. Another is the Torah describing it as Lo Yimatzei. You're not allowed to find it. What specifically is meant with these psukim and these words? So that is Hamad Beis, and it actually goes into Vav Amud Aleph. Let's start the discussion right now. Tana Rabbanan of the Gemara quotes a brisa shivas yamim se'or lo yimatzei bivateichem. Ma tam alomer, why is the Torah coming to teach us over here? V'lo kfar nemar, another pasuk in Parshas Bo. Lo yira'eh lecha se'or v'lo yira'eh lecha chametz b'chol gvulecha. Exactly how the pasuk is to be read, right? The Gemara over here slightly misquoting the pasuk, but anyway. So lefisha nemar, but the point is as follows, is that we have one pasuk describing that the chametz is not allowed to be seen, and we have another pasuk describing how you're not allowed to, that's lo yira'eh. We also have another pasuk describing lo yimatzei. What are these psukim making reference to specifically? Lefishin emar lo yira'eh lecha se'or, shelcha yata roeh. Which chametz are you not allowed to have? Only lecha, that which you own. Avala taroeh, shel acherim, v'shel gavoah. If it's chametz that's not owned by you, i.e., it's chametz of others. Others over here means a non-Jew. Or chametz, let's say, of hektesh, that's in your property. So that would have been fine. Meaning that you are allowed to have. Others chametz, you're allowed to have. Meaning minhag yisrael is that we sell our chametz prior to Pesach. And then what do? Do we get it out of our houses? No, we keep it in our houses. Right? But it's not ours. We don't own it. So that's the drasha over here. The drasha, by the way, just to be clear, is not endorsing the sale of chametz. That is a minhag Yisrael that has been taking place for many, many years. But the pasuk over here is just simply saying that if the chametz belongs to somebody else, so it could be in your house. Okay. Yachol yatmin v'kabal pikdonos min ha'nachri. I might have thought that what I could do is I can hide the chametz. Right? This is right in developmental psychology, object permanence, right? I don't see the chametz, therefore it's not mine. So yachol, I might have thought, yatmin, I'm going to hide my chametz, I'll bury it under the ground, or yakbo pikdonos min ha'nachri, or accept a pikadon, my non-Jewish neighbor is going to ask me to watch his chametz. So tamalom lo yimatzei. So the Torah says lo yimatzei, meaning you can't even find the chametz. Now the pikdonos we're going to be discussing in tomorrow's daf, so let's wait for tomorrow to discuss the pikdonos. So ein li ala benachri shelo kivshto ve'ein shari imach bechatzer. Now nachri shelo kivshto that you have not conquered, meaning the if the non-Jew is, let's say, subject to you. Now, exactly how this subjugation works, so we're going to discuss that also in slightly more detail later on. But anyway, a nachri that is not under your rule, v'ein shari yamach b'chatzer, nachri shekiv ashto v'shari yamach b'chatzer minayin. What if we're talking about a non-Jew? We started off with a non-Jew that is not subject to you. How about a Jew that is non-Jew that is subject to you? Nachri shekiv ashto v'shari yamach b'chatzer minayin. How do I know that his chametz is going to be asur? Tamalamar lo yimatzei bevatechem. So you're not allowed to find any nachri's chametz in you, whether the nachri is subject to you or whether he's not subject to you. Okay, that point of the brisa also is going to be clarified a little bit later on. So let's wait just a moment to clarify that point of the brisa. Anyway, sorry. Ainli ela shebevatechem. Now, so far, the Torah says that you're not allowed to have chametz in your house. How about if it's not in your house, but it's in your property? Right? You have a cave or regardless of what you have. So how do I know that that also needs to be eradicated? So we go back to the other pasuk of v'chol gvulecha, anything that is in your borders, meaning in your property. So far, here's what we could say. That in your house, one is not allowed to have the chametz, one's not allowed to hide the chametz, nor accept pikadon from a non-Jew. Bigvulin, and in your border, and in your border, so you can have other people's chametz, meaning that of a non-Jew and that of Hekdesh. How do I know that the halachas referred to in one pasuk cross over to the other pasuk? Tamalamar, Seor Legzereshava. The word Seor used in both these psukim link these two psukim and thereby allow us to conclude that what's true in one is true in the other. Nema Seor Bivatim, Seor Lo Yimatze Bivatechem, Venema Seor Bigvulin, Lo Yerelecha Seor. So the word Seor is mentioned in both these psukim, the pasuk in reference to bias. The pasuk in reference to gvulin, masa or amor bebatim over mishum bal yiral va yimatze uval yatmin uval yikaba pikdonos min anachri. So the seor made reference in the houses, which tells me that I can't hide it and I can't accept a pikadon from a non-Jew. So too the seor amor begvulin. The same thing is true with any of your property outside of your house over mishum bal yiral va yimatze uval yatmin uval yikaba pikdonos so min anachrim. Umasa or amor begvulin. Now the seor as makes reference to the gvulin, meaning any of your property, shelchata roa valta roa sholachem v'shel gavoa, where there it's your chametz that you can't own, but you can store other people's chametz over there, whether it belongs to a non-Jew, whether it belongs to Hekdesh. So af seor amor bebatim shelchata roa aval ata roa sholachem v'shel gavoa. So too the seor in your house. So it's only your seor that you can't have in your house, but other people seor, meaning non-Jew seor, or Hektish seor, so that's allowed to be in your house. Okay, that was a lot of drushas. So far, the complement of these two psukim arrive us at the conclusion that you're not allowed to own chametz in your property. Now, that means the following. It means that you're not allowed to own chametz in your property, and that means not only the visible chametz, but even the chametz that's not readily visible, even if it's tucked away, even if it's hidden. That chametz you're not allowed to have, not in your house and not on your property. And on top of that, we also learn that chametz that is not yours, it's not under your ownership, you're just simply holding it for somebody else, that of a non-Jew, that of Hekdesh, so that you are allowed to have both in your property and in your home. And even though the psukim are, there are two different psukim, but the Gzeres Sheva links these two psukim, so whatever we said by one is going to be true by the other. Okay, Adkan. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick it up at the two dots tomorrow. We're going to go over the points of the Braisa more carefully, a little more methodically. And so that will start us off for tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, let's just quickly review our daf today. In terms of review, it's really organized and it's really straightforward. The first half of today's daf, dedicated to the Isser Min HaTorah of not to own chametz and not to eat chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Later in the Masechet on Daf Yud Aleph, we're going to be talking about the rabbinic safeguards of moving back an hour, meaning during the sixth hour of the day, during the fifth hour of the day, the Isuri Durabanan, which we're going to be discussing in much greater detail on Daf Yud Aleph. But meanwhile, just the first the basics, and that is from Chatzos and onward on Erev Pesach. So one is not allowed to eat and own chametz. How is that derived from in the Torah? So the Torah does not state this clearly. So we have drushas that get us to that point. And the beginning of today's daf, and daf Hey Amud Aleph, starting really in yesterday's daf, but on Hey Amud Aleph, so we have a series of drushas that arrive at that conclusion. Four Amoraim give their version of how we darshan this information. Then we quote a braisa where three Tanaim offer their position in terms of how we arrive at that. Some of the positions of the Tanaim overlap with that of the Amoraim. And then we also spent a little bit of time in Hammond Bays deciphering the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's position, which is that the reason I know Achba Yom HaRishon is not talking about the first day of Yontov, but rather the day prior, is because what do you think? You're able to burn chametz on the first day of Yontov in order to eradicate it? You can't do that. One, he subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to eradicate it through burning. Two, is that burning is an av malacha. And three, is that he doesn't subscribe to mitoch shehutcho letzorech uchanami shelo letzorech. He doesn't subscribe to that shita. Which, parenthetically, by the way, I didn't point this out, but another oddity in that the Gemara aligns Rabbi Akiva to the Shita of Beit Shammai. Okay, but anyway, those are the positions of the Braisa. That's all Hamad Aleph. Hamad Beis, so the issers of not having chametz neither in your house nor in your property. We had two psukim that spoke to this idea. We had many halachas derived from these two psukim. The fact that the word Sa'or is found in both these psukim, the Gzeres Sheva necessary linking these two psukim, telling us that whatever halacha we gain from one pasuk is true by the other pasuk as well. The halacha of Lo Yira'a tells me that I'm not allowed to have chametz neither visibly seen in my property, my house or my property, nor just even hiding in my house or my property. If it's my chametz, I'm in violation of Lo Yira'a and Lo Yimatse. I'm not allowed to take a pikadon from a non-Jew. We'll talk about that in tomorrow's daf in terms of what level of liability you have. Anyway, you're not allowed to take a pikadon from a non-Jew. That also is going to be a violation of Bayura Bayamatse. Good. That's one pasuk. The other pasuk is telling me that I'm allowed to have other people's chametz in my possession, that of a non-Jew, that of Hekdesh. So that could be in my possession, whether it be in my house or whether it be in my property. That is, in fact, allowed. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf.